All right, so my favorite element, and this is why I did the survey first so I wouldn't sway anybody's favorite element, is water. If you don't know already, I mean, I already spoke a little bit about water before. I just love water. And, you know, one of the reasons why is our house is like 2 blocks from the lake. And so I try to get down there as much as possible. I don't always get to swim like I want to, but just going down, even when it's a little cold, I feel like Holy Spirit really speaks to me through water, through the way it moves. The lake is so big, so there's the vastness that it has that really speaks to me. And almost every single time I go down there, as long as I still myself and take time to listen, Holy Spirit talks to me when I'm in the water or down by the water, and it's pretty cool. So I love the fluidity of water. I love, like I said, the vastness of water. You know, you can be soothed by the water, but also be overwhelmed by the water at the same time. There's a power to it. The concept of living water is frequently used as a metaphor for Holy Spirit, representing life, refreshment, cleansing. It's a powerful symbol in the Bible, representing cleansing, purification, and life-giving power of God. You know, in ancient times, water could be scarce, especially, you know, in the desert areas and things like that. They didn't have running water like we know. So when there's the symbolism in the Bible, because of the scarcity, and water was a commodity, that symbolism is so much more impactful to have living water, because not everybody did. So some of that we don't fully understand unless we immerse, get into that culture and think about it that way. The Old Testament often uses water as a symbol of God's provision and blessing, which is then fulfilled in the New Testament with the coming of Holy Spirit. So today, as we talk about water, I'm going to give you 4 characteristics that Holy Spirit and water have in common. 4 characteristics that Holy Spirit and water have in common. So the first one, Holy Spirit cleanses. Holy Spirit cleanses. Holy Spirit was there at our conversion. And if we truly believe, we can see that he was there before then, drawing us, pulling us, directing us. I love, we already spoke on Rich's illustration last week, but the pouring of the water into the polluted water and flushing it out is a good representation of what Holy Spirit does when we say yes to the gospel and yes to Jesus. In Galatians 4:4-7, it says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent out his son, born of a woman and born under law, to free those under law, so we might receive adoption as sons. Now, because you were sons, God sent the Ruach," which you're going to hear me say Ruach a lot today, because I'm teaching from the Tree of Life version. And so Ruach is the word for spirit. It means spirit, breath. So you'll see in my version of the Bible, it'll say Ruach, and sometimes I'll interchange it with the word spirit. Or it'll say Ruach HaKodesh, which is Holy Spirit. So God sent the Ruach of his son into our hearts, who cries out, "Abba, Father," so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, also an heir through God. So when you say yes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that spirit is awakened in you. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, "After you heard the message of truth, the good news of your salvation, and when you put your trust in him, you were sealed with the promised Ruach HaKodesh," or Holy Spirit. You were sealed with Holy Spirit. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall again into fear. Rather, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Holy Spirit was there at our conversion. He played a pivotal part in our conversion. And he cleanses us. Holy Spirit cleanses us. So the second one is Holy Spirit shapes. Holy Spirit shapes. Now I'm going to play a quick little clip. So if you'll just turn your eyes to the screen. It doesn't have sound, but just take notice of how the water is crashing into the shoreline. Look at the jagged edges of the shoreline, of the stone, from years of erosion, years of shaping. Water's so powerful. Holy Spirit is so powerful. Just like he's there at conversion, Holy Spirit is also there through our continuing sanctification. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, having been made righteous by trusting, we have shalom with God through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Through him, we also have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and boast in the hope of God's glory. And not only that, but we also boast in suffering, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Going back to Rich's illustration, on his second part, he had the toxins dripping into the water at simultaneous flushing of the water, representing when we have those outside influences come against us, as long as we are leaning into Holy Spirit and allowing Holy Spirit, giving him permission to make room in us, to shape us, to mold us, it continually flushes, continually gets rid of those toxins that aren't meant for us. In Ezekiel 36, it says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the stony heart from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. Then I will cause you to walk in my laws, so you will keep my rulings and do them. Then you will live in the land that I gave to your fathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. This Old Testament text here, it's believed whenever Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he said, you must be born of water and spirit. It said that he was referencing this text. I will put my spirit in you, and it will cause you to walk in my laws, walk in my ways, follow my rulings. You will be my people, and I will be my God. You see, when Holy Spirit comes in and makes a dwelling place, the promise is to never leave us. But he's not just along for the ride. He wants to be the source of movement. He wants to lead. He wants to be the one in charge. Play that clip again of the waves crashing. He wants to be the water. He wants to chip away at your stony heart. And it's a process, and it doesn't always feel good. It seems painful. The key is the level that you're resisting is the level of the pain that you may feel. Are you immersing yourself and giving time to be shaped? Are you going to the water just to dip for refreshment? Are you wanting the cooling benefits of the water, but you're not trying to be shaped? I like who I am. I was born this way. God made me this way. The water feels good. It's so refreshing. This heat is dreadful, but the water is nice. But when I get out of the water, when I leave the water, I'm the same person. We don't want to be shaped. It's painful. It's uncomfortable. If I get shaped too much, I might become unrecognizable. And that's the point. That's the point. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to following. In order for our relationship to flourish, we must look more like him. Just like the waves are crashing on the rocks, we need to allow Holy Spirit to erode away the parts of us that don't belong there, that weren't meant for us, that we weren't meant to carry, the parts that make us less like Jesus. How do you know if you're being shaped correctly? How much do you look like Jesus? How much does your life look like Jesus' life? You know, Jesus was very adamant. He only said what the Father said. He only went where the Father told him to go. He was always about his Father's business. Day in and day out, moment after moment, he always pointed to the Father and to the kingdom. Holy Spirit in you will bring the attention, your attention, to the words of Jesus, to the life of Jesus. This is how it works. The Son always glorifies the Father in everything he does. The Spirit glorifies the Son, which in turn glorifies the Father. So with Spirit inside of you, your life should always glorify the Son, which glorifies the Father. In John 16, it says, I still have much more to tell you, but you cannot handle it just now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will tell you. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and declare to you. He's telling you how it works. If you truly have Holy Spirit inside of you, it's going to always point to the Son. It's going to always point to Jesus. It's going to always point to the life of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the attitudes of Jesus, the love of Jesus, which always points to the Father. The voices, Father, Son, and Spirit, they won't contradict each other. Holy Spirit's not going to tell you to do something that the Bible tells you to do, and vice versa. It doesn't contradict each other. The Son won't contradict the Father. The Spirit won't contradict the Son. In 1 Corinthians, it says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Yeshua be cursed. And no one can say, Yeshua is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. We glorify the Son because of the Holy Spirit. Do some of you feel stuck in your spiritual journey? Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels? Nothing's really changing. Nothing's really happening. You're playing in the water. You're dipping in the water. You're being refreshed. Maybe you're riding the waves and you found a little whirlpool and you're like, ooh. But there's no shaping. If you're feeling a little beat up, is it because maybe there's something that Holy Spirit is trying to form in you that you are resisting? Maybe it's something you won't let go of. But if Holy Spirit is wanting to take that, you weren't ever meant to carry it to begin with. One of my son's favorite things to do at the water is he'll sit right on the shoreline when the waves are bigger and just let the waves kind of pound him and push him back. Do you feel that way in your spirituality sometimes? Is that you're just getting banged by the waves? I would do an inventory. Holy Spirit, what are you trying to show me right now? Those crashes seem a little forceful. They hurt a little bit. How are you shaping me? What is it I'm supposed to release right now and give to you? Don't resist the shaping, because Holy Spirit shapes. All right, the third one. So we have Holy Spirit cleanses, Holy Spirit shapes, and we have Holy Spirit fills in the gaps. So this is where I have an illustration. and I hope to not make a huge mess here. I have a little glass vessel here, which obviously the vessel represents us, shocker. I have all these rocks in here, and I'm gonna pour water in it. Now, the rocks are all different shapes and sizes, and you can see that there are spaces in between the rocks. They don't lay flat. There's some empty space. So as Holy Spirit, you give room to him. He begins to fill the empty spaces. He actually finds the lowest empty space and fills it. The key word here is empty. Is the space empty for him to fill it? Or do we have something else there? Sometimes we have to make room. John 16:12 says, I still have much more to tell you, but you cannot handle it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. As he fills your empty spaces, he's going to point out some things that aren't supposed to be there. He's going to be like, do you see this one right here? Yeah, that shouldn't be there. Let's get rid of that. So he takes it out. I'm going to grab a couple of them. See that one there? We're going to take that out. But that's part of who I am. That's my personality. We're going to take a few of these out over here. Well, that's there because I never want to be like my dad. So I made a vow never to be like my dad. It's an inner vow. It's now become a foundational piece of who you are. But Holy Spirit is like, you don't need that inner vow. Let's take that out. That part has become a stone in your heart is directing your steps today, and it shouldn't be. Holy Spirit should be directing your steps, right? Let's take some of these out over here. I'm going to grab a handful because Holy Spirit's really working today. Get them, Spirit. All right, so we took all that out. Well, what happens when you take all of those rocks out? Grab this towel over here. There's empty space, right? The water level goes down. So what you have to do is allow Holy Spirit to fill those empty spaces. This is a representation of what inner healing is. When you go through inner healing, things are revealed to you that you may have had no idea. A lot of people don't know inner vows are not a good thing. So they're uprooted, they're revealed to you, you're delivered from those things, but you have to fill the space with more of Holy Spirit. If not, you're gonna run to something else to fill the space. Because we don't like feeling empty, right? We don't like to feel empty. Give me something to hold. But we're going to climb this mountain with our hands wide open. You got to be in your word. Your Bible, that's the words of Jesus. That's how you know what Jesus says. And Holy Spirit inside of you will point to Jesus, will bring those to your memory. You know, you got to sit in your word, but you also have to sit in Holy Spirit's spotlight. We don't like that. Don't show me what's in the shadows. I tuck that away. When you sit in silence and allow Holy Spirit to speak to you, he's going to show you some of those things. And he's going to fill those spaces if you allow him to. That's what he's for. He's here to help us be more like Jesus. We have to do our part and not hold on to the stony pieces that shouldn't be there. John 14, 16 through 18 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. You know him, because he abides in you and will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. His promise is to be with us always in this journey. You know, the word for helper in this scripture, it's the Greek word parakletos, and it literally means one who is called to one's side. One who is called to one's side. So this journey of life that we're on, if we have said yes to following Jesus, Holy Spirit is given to us to be at our side the whole way. But he needs to be the one directing. He's at our side. But if we're following Jesus, Holy Spirit will tell us the direction. His job is to remind you of what Jesus says. And if you're in the Word, he will bring those words to your memory, to your remembrance. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I said to you. Everything. Not some things. Everything. But how are you going to know everything if you don't get to know everything? Get in your Word. When we deliberately set aside time for Holy Spirit, we give him the space and the permission to do in our lives what he was sent for. Are we utilizing that? Are we utilizing what God the Father made available to us through the Son to follow him more efficiently, more effectively, to have life more abundantly? The more room that you give Holy Spirit in your life, the more evident the fruit of the Spirit in your life will be, because he becomes more prominent in your life. Simple math. I must decrease so that he can increase. He's the one who comes beside us, gives us words to say. Have you ever felt like you feel like you should say something to someone, a stranger, and like you just talk yourself out of it because you're like, I'm going to sound dumb. What if they ask me a theological question I can't answer? What if this? What if that? You're like, I don't know what to say. Holy Spirit fills in the gaps. If you allow him to lead, he'll fill in the gaps. In Luke 12, it says, and when they bring you to the synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, because the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will teach you at that time what is necessary to say. The Holy Spirit is still alive and well today. So if he was there teaching the disciples, the apostles, the early Christians what to say, he's going to do the same for us, right? If we let him lead, if we give him the space to operate, Holy Spirit fills in the gaps. The final point that I have today is Holy Spirit is fluid. Holy Spirit is fluid. We're talking about water. You can't get more fluid than water, right? When it comes to trusting Holy Spirit and allowing him to move, it's about the ebb and flow. If you're rigid, it's just going to work against what the Spirit's doing. It's about the ebb and flow. 1 Corinthians 6 says, Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. He's pointing to God through the Son.